Eric Metaxas here. Please join me in a life-saving mission to set Sudanese slaves free through Christian Solidarity International. Since 1995, CSI has freed more than 100,000 women and children from years of bondage and abuse. Your $250 gift frees, feeds, and heals these captives and sets them on a path to a new life in freedom. Please help us free another slave now. Call 888-253-3522, 888-253-3522, or click the CSI banner at MetaxasTalk.com, MetaxasTalk.com.
Welcome to the Eric Metaxas Show. Please keep your arms and legs inside the car at all times.
This is your final warning.
Now, here's your host, Mr. Thrill Ride himself, Eric Metaxas.
Hey there, folks. Welcome to the program. Is the microphone working? Today is the 6th of January, a date that will live in for me. Kevin McCullough is my guest. Kevin, there's no place to begin, so let's leap in medias res, as Virgil did in writing the Aeneid. What have you to say, sir?
Last night, well, this is the big takeaway, and this was what I've been talking about for the last 60 days. If you have reasonable considerations of doubts about cheating and systems that are bad and possible conspiracies involving other countries and voting subtractions and data that just goes missing, probably not best to use the same system that created all those doubts from the last election in the next election. And what we saw in Georgia, at least as the as we are having this discussion right now, as I am able to report the best that I can right now, we are seeing the exact same methodologies that were used in November 3rd to no one's surprise be used on January 5th in the runoff in the state of Georgia. And that includes most specifically, and this is what I've kind of zeroed in on in the last few days, is the data itself that they will even probably try to certify as this data shows subtractions from Mr. Perdue's column consistently, periodically throughout the night. And then no subtractions ever occurring for Mr. Ossoff. I have not studied the Loeffler-Warnock race as closely because the evidence is starting to pile up in the Perdue case pretty quickly. But I've got multiple evidences of video subtraction real time that's happening on multiple networks. The same amounts, the same decrements are being taken away. You should only have an incremental increase in a cumulative.
No one has ever
election.
Used the word decrements in mainstream media before. We're gonna send you a gift for that. I think like a packet of pumpkin seeds. You can plant them and mark
Maybe
that.
Maybe I can grow the ultimate beanstalk and walk out of here or something.
Well, that's really what that's what belief in Jesus is about: climbing the beanstalk into the other realm and escaping this one forever. But the beanstalk has to start somewhere, and it has to start in this realm, which is why we need the cross. I think my great learning has made me mad, Kevin. Let's go backwards here. You are talking about election fraud. You have no doubt about it. Last night, I watched as the Loeffler and Perdue numbers were ahead. And then, of course, I woke up to all of this news. And by the time this program airs, people maybe will be tuning into what's happening in Congress. But I have to tell you, Kevin, what really disturbs me more than the news of fraud is National Review, Andrew McCarthy, many other people whom I take very seriously.
Right.
Labeling this as conspiracy theory. And the reason it bothers me is because it's difficult for me to dismiss some of the folks that I have mentioned. I do dismiss them ultimately, but it's very difficult for me. And you can understand why people in the Senate, if you are listening to people like my friend Rich Lowry, you would simply say there's nothing here. Crazy people like Kevin McCullough or Eric Metaxas may talk about it, but it's not anything we need to take seriously. We need to face the fact that we lost and move on. You don't take that view, but I want to know, what do you make of these people Other than the people that are sellouts, the people that I've just mentioned are not. These are good people who have a different view. And I'm trying to understand how can they have that view based on what you've seen?
I'm not sure. And I would need to sit down with Andy McCarthy, who is on my show regularly, and Rich Lowry, who I've also known for, you know, dozens of years, as you have. I would need to engage them in a serious Q&A and say, guys, how do you explain this? And let me just connect some of the dots. People are saying, Kev, how what do you mean it was the exact same methodology? They stopped counting in three significant counties last night and said they were going to postpone the count until sometime this morning. You have in real time, you have, and it's not some entry level person's data entry error in the back of the news channel that's causing the flip. These totals were being piped in directly through the Secretary of State's office into the CITL software that then disseminates it through a distributor that then goes to all of the news outlets simultaneously. So we have the same flips documented on CNN, ABC, and Reuters, all at the same time, all of the same amount. That means it's a centralized source giving the data that is being changed. If there's an explanation for it, Eric, I want to know. And if Andy is some way privy to that, or Rich is somehow privy to that, then I would like to do that. But my first question would be, how do you account for this? I have no less on my Twitter feed. I've pinned it to the top, the videos that are coming in. I've got four different instances where Purdue loses votes and Ossoff's number doesn't change. Please forgive me. I was up late. My brain's not working well. So Purdue's number changes, Ossoff's number doesn't change. In one instance, they took 5,000 away from Purdue, and they say they stop counting, and they say we've got 5,000 votes that we have not yet added in that we're going to have to go back and examine in the morning. And that's the best explanation that people are coming up with. But again, these anomalies, these subtractions, they only come from one side of the ledger. You shouldn't have them to begin with. Number one, it's a cumulative process. It's not an integral process. You're not taking and then giving and multiplying and then dividing. You are only adding. That's all you do. They shouldn't happen to begin with. They're only happening to one side of the ledger, and they happened. Those are the things that I would want to know from the experts. How do you explain this?
Now, there are other people besides the two that I mentioned, whom I respect but disagree with, who don't have the view that we do and are already trying to figure out whom to blame. Let me ask you another question. You just mentioned subtractions of votes and that kind of thing. I heard about other things like trying to block people from seeing the count, you know, the same thing that happened on November 6th or whatever. That looks bad. But what do you say to people who would say, look, Atlanta, very, very heavy African-American population, traditionally vote Democrat. That stuff was reported later. And that's all there is to it.
It wasn't reported later. They took it to a judge almost immediately when it started happening last night. And then the judge issued a written order signed and documented by, I think it was around 9:30, 9:45, maybe 10 o'clock latest, when he issued the ruling that they had to be allowed not 65 feet, not 45 feet, not way out in the boonies where they were told they had to set up. They were allowed up to 10 feet away from the actual counter themselves. And that was a court order. I got reports that the court order was ignored. I don't know how you begin to take recourse on things when people won't obey even court orders at this point.
Well, I mean, that's one issue. The second issue was that I heard that, you know, the cities typically, the cities which tend to be large black populations who traditionally vote Democrat, that the cities typically report late. And some people would say because they want to know how many votes they need to win. And that's why they kind of hang back in the weeds. Other people say
in Georgia, you have multiple examples of that in Georgia. So last night, you not only in Fulton County, which is where you're talking about in Atlanta, but also in DeKalb. And there was one other county. I'm thinking it's Gwinnett, but it might be a different one. I don't know the counties in Georgia that well. But you had multiple ones that either reported super late, or they stopped counting when they got to a certain point and they could see that the ratio was going to be, and you can begin to calculate out, okay, this is how many you've got to make up. I was doing the calculations, by the way. If you go back to my feed from last night, I said at somewhere around, I think it was about 10:30, the first candidates to get to 2.2 million will win the election.
Okay, forgive me. We're going to have to pick this up.
Okay.
We got to pick this up on the other side. We'll be right back with more hot dish on Kim and Kanye. We'll be right back.
Cut out. Make like a little lamb and wham, you're shorn.
Hey there, folks. If you're tuning in to get, you know, the latest on Kim and Kanye, we brought in the expert R. Corey Hay, formerly with the National Enquirer. Where are you working today, R. Corey?
I did see the Kim and Kanye story, actually, and it was kind of an amusing sidebar for what was going on last night. I don't know if it's true. There's people saying it, but we don't know.
Well, we have to go back to the election, unfortunately. Kevin, look, today.
So can I pick up where I was at real quick?
Yeah, go ahead.
So
sorry.
I was looking at the results coming in, and I started doing what I think they were doing in the strategy rooms. And I was saying, okay, they're at about 1.5 million. The leaders were, and they had said at whatever percentage it was, votes remain. So I quickly did the math and realized the first team to get to 2.2 million each for their candidate was going to win the race. They counted the first 91% of the vote, percent one through percent 91, in about 3.5 hours. We still don't have the remaining 9% of the vote counted. Now, I don't know why you can do 91% of ballots of a total of about, I don't know, 4 or 5 million votes across the state, and you can't count that final 420,000 or whatever it is in 17 hours. This is crazy. And that was the thing. I said, watch the, and they were averaging about 43,000 per percentile. And I just did the math and said, you just got to get to 2.2 million. And they looked like they were well on their way to get there. All of a sudden, they get stuck at 2.1, 2.1, and Warnock and Purdue, I mean, Ossoff surpassed them and hit the 2.2 factor.
Okay, so what do you make of people, including Jay Sekulow, saying that the members of Congress do not have the right to overturn the Electoral College? Because obviously this is related today at 1 o'clock on C-SPAN and wherever else tobacco products are sold. We're going to have a live hearing. And there's tremendous disagreement, because when you hear everything that you're saying, for example, you know, you get angry and you say, listen, we need answers. We need to stop things. We need to figure out what's going on. And then you have people, whether it's Jay Sekulow or others, saying the vice president doesn't have the right to do X, Y, and Z, or Congress doesn't have the right. We've got to stick to the Constitution. What do you say to that?
I think one of the most interesting ways that this finally could get before the Supreme Court is for Pence to call the bluff and try it. I don't know, Eric, I'm not a constitutional attorney, but what better constitutional crisis could there be than to have the vice president say, you know what, we do have a lot of questions. Let's invoke a 10-day waiting period like Ted Cruz has asked for. Let's do the forensic examination in both races now. We have the Senate race and the presidential race. And then if somebody is dissatisfied with that, let them sue. Let some, you know, let Andrew Cuomo or AOC or somebody else say, no, you can't do that, Pence, and let that be taken to the Supreme Court.
Pence would have to do that first.
He would.
And the question is whether he will. Also, you have people like Lynn Wood accusing Pence of treason. Now, listen, I don't think Lynn Wood is crazy, but I love Mike Pence. I trust Mike Pence, but I don't know Mike Pence well enough to say whether behind the scenes he has a different view than I thought he did. What do you make of it when someone like Lynn Wood, who had been working very closely with Sidney Powell and others we know, would make a claim like that?
Well, let's look at some of the facts. Lynn Wood is a fairly recent convert to faith by his own admission. I've known Pence since he was a congressman. He actually was involved in the impeachment era during the Clinton years. He was a very faithful and good governor of Indiana. And everybody that has tried to link him to the conspiracy to remove Trump from office for the last 4 years have all been face planted by the stupidity of their remarks. At the end of the day, I don't know Lynn Wood. I barely know Sidney Powell. Some of the things that Lynn has said have made me think that he's not as serious of a person as I'd like him to be. I basically don't give any credence to his ideas about who Mike Pence is or isn't. I know one thing. When the Congress meets today, we're going to find out what Mike Pence's view on all of this is, because he will take action.
And it's going to be practically contemporaneous with this broadcast, because we air this at 2 o'clock Eastern. Right. So it's going to be very interesting. But the thing that people would say, and I'm just playing devil's advocate because obviously I like Mike Pence, but he did not stand up for the religious liberty issue in Indiana when he was governor, the way religious conservatives had hoped. And so that is a black mark in his book, as far as I can see.
I'm not as familiar with that issue as you are, evidently. I've watched him for a long time. His record in Congress was impeccable. And as far as I know, his term as governor was scandal-free. And as far as I'm aware...
Oh, listen, no. I have no doubt that he is a wonderful human being, a profound Christian. I'm just... Sometimes people have different views of things, and that's why I'm just wondering, you know, there are people that... Let me say this as well,
Kevin. I would prefer not to talk about things that I don't have direct data on, and I just don't on that argument.
And those are exactly the kind of things I want us to talk about. So we have an impasse, don't we? No, let me ask you a question.
Yeah, go ahead.
No, let me since I have no data, I can talk about anything I want. let me just say that what is interesting is that today, literally today, this stuff is breaking, and we're going to see many things. There have been prophecies that there would be a Red Sea moment. In other words, I think that if you believe God has his hand on this country, you realize almost anything can happen, because no one ever thought we would get here to where we have mad Marxist ideas having taken over the Democratic Party. I mean, when you're talking about, you know, critical race theory, redistribution of wealth and all that other stuff, Green New Deal, defunding the police, it's madness. We never thought we'd get here. So we're at a very, very strange place right now. And I think people are trying to process this. And I also think that people are trying to process how would it be possible, if you see just what you and I have seen, not to want to stop everything and say, this is too important, we can't just shuffle along here. And finally, do you think Mitch McConnell will flip from being a skunk to a fake hero because he has lost his leadership position? And at least if you go by, you know, the fake results that came in last night, that he will fake a spine somehow in the days ahead, because he has nothing to lose now.
I don't know. He's got a 6-year term. He's got nothing to lose pretty much either way you look at it. He's been very, very wealthy since he's been in office. And some people have speculated some sort of Chinese connection to that because of his wife. I don't know. I will say this as to the first part of what you were asking about. You almost have to say that if all of these results are allowed to go through in the stand, and tomorrow we have Joe Biden and a Democratic Senate and Congress, you can't argue that it was anything other than God's intention at this moment in time for that to happen, because by every statistical anomaly, by every piece of history that we know, everything that I based my maps on, everything that you could see on the ground, all the grassroots work, there was no way that President Trump, by any historical standard, was set to lose on November 3rd. And I don't believe that Georgians voted honestly to elect two of the most radical senators that will be in the Senate last night. Georgia's still far too conservative a state for me to believe that. So how do we explain all of that if evil is allowed to prosper at this moment in time? I don't know. But if I was the church, I'd start doing some serious soul searching and say, God, what is it that you're asking of us? Because obviously you don't want to make it easy for us for the foreseeable future.
Well, I'm going to be talking to my friend Larry Taunton about the church, about the evangelical church in America, because we really are at such a strange place where you can have somebody like Lecrae, who is a very strong Christian, who has been very, very pro-life, completely on the other side of things politically. We're at a very strange place, Kevin. I don't know what to say, but I do know that tons of people have been fasting and praying, and many people just believe this is one of those things where the church has to be forced up against the Red Sea before they will, you know, cry out to God.
Yeah. Well, and maybe the crying out to God is what we have needed for quite some time and maybe have ignored in our most basic of essence as the church, what we need to be doing. Certainly not from lack of effort. You have led the way on giving people an opportunity to do just that. So have a number of other groups and individuals. I don't see this as necessarily a failure on any one front. I think what we have to do is ask God at this point in time, what do you have for us now?
I think that that's right. I'm so grateful for your time, because this morning, you know, waking up to this news, it is madness. Nobody can make sense of it. The least we can do is hold the hands of people as we try together to make some sense of this, because it is a kind of a madness. Kevin, perhaps the most important thing any of us could say is that if you go to MyPillow to use the code Eric, I really think that that's a Rhema word of knowledge, and I just want my audience to get that. Kevin, thank you.
Thank you, Eric. God bless you.
Hey there, folks. Welcome to Crazy. Yes, this is the 6th of January. We've predicted that the 6th would come. We've been saying it for a long time, and sure enough, here it is, the 6th of January, Epiphany. This is the day, traditionally, that we in the Eastern Orthodox Church celebrate the Holy Spirit coming down in the form of a dove to signify God's approval of his son Jesus, who had just been baptized in the waters of the Jordan River. Guys, am I getting any of this wrong?
Nope, you are right. The 6th of January, Epiphany.
It's an extraordinary thing. When I was a kid, now we've just been talking to Kevin McCullough about the election, and we'll keep talking about all of this stuff, but I just want to say that life goes on. When I was a kid, because I was in the Greek church, my father would always show me every January 6th that in Florida, a bunch of young men, now I don't know if either of you have ever seen this, they jump in the water. Now, we lived in New York, so I didn't have the idea as a kid, like, oh, it's probably not so bad in Florida. They jump in the water, a priest throws a cross into the water, and a bunch of hopped up young men dive into the water to dive down to be the one to come up with the cross. And I don't know which part of that is more horrible, diving deep underwater to get the cross just as an idea, because I'm not much of a swimmer, or fighting with a whole bunch of other young people underwater. But that's part of the incarnational view that the Eastern Orthodox have of the scripture, which I approve of. Well, it's an amazing thing, every January 6th.
The apostles, I think, did that. That was an original possible, you know, fun time with the apostles.
Yeah, that's in the apocryphal Gospel of Thomas. So, guys, we're going to be talking about this election today and tomorrow. A lot of crazy stuff. But I want to ask you both, what do you do for your mental health? Because the madness is just inescapable. I mean, last night I would tune in for a second to some, you know, news channel to kind of see where things were. And then I would just have to turn away because I thought this is unbearable no matter how it plays out. Like, just the chattering that has been endless, you know, for years, much less months and weeks now, just gets more and more intense. You just want a break. And I always wanted this show to be a break from that kind of stuff, that we will cover this stuff, but it's not endless. We've been covering it endlessly since the election, so we've changed our tune because I believe that the times call for it. But do you guys ever just have to take a break, or can you be all in? I mean, somebody like Kevin McCullough, who was just on, he's just so in on this. I don't have the temperament the personality, the temperament, whatever you want to call it, the ability on any level to do that. What do you guys find yourself doing amidst the madness of wondering whether our country is falling apart?
I'll tell you something. Fortunately for me, I'm with family, my father-in-law's place here in Texas, and we watch the Grit Channel, and it's all Westerns.
We have the Grit Channel here in Manhattan. We have the Grit Channel, and it is all Westerns. You're right. It's fantastic.
Oh, my goodness. And so it's like I get lost in the old time America, you know, the Wild West and all that sort of thing, where the gun meant something.
Yeah.
They weren't defunding the sheriff's office. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, I think for me, to steal a line from the classic movie Airplane, I picked the wrong day to stop drinking. January, a lot of people will, if they, you know, have wine or whatever, occasionally they'll cut out alcohol. So that's what I'm doing this January.
Yeah.
So I would say, you know, we started watching some old sitcoms, Mad About You, which is sort of like a pre-Friends sitcom with Paul Reiser.
Yeah.
That was pretty fun. We just do things around the house, really, like little projects. That's kind of the way.
You've got six kids to distract you, which I think is a healthy thing. I recommend that because I really do believe that real life, whatever that means, is an antidote to some of what's happening right now. We're having a surfeit of information. I mean, it says in the Bible that, you know, in the last days, knowledge will increase. And I really do feel that something has happened that is, that is certainly unprecedented, that we're getting so much information. It's at our fingertips, literally. And there's something fundamentally ungrounding about it. And to touch on what I said earlier about diving in the cold water or into the water of January to get the cross, there's an image there that's very incarnational. I mean, you can't dive into water digitally or virtually. Either you do that and you struggle and you sweat and you do it, or you don't. And because of COVID, because so many of us have been home for so long, because we're, you know, addicted to the news, whether on our phones or on TV or wherever you're getting it, there's something fundamentally ungrounding about that. And we're not created by God for that. We're created to be grounded. And having chickens and children, and I don't mean biological chickens, I just mean that you bought chickens, but you have biological children, Chris. And I think that living life in the way that sometimes we're obliged to live life, or we can choose it. But I'm saying that if you're in the middle of all that, it's harder to spend all your time binge watching, you know, something on Netflix.
Yeah, when we come back, I got to mention a famous Christmas movie that I don't think anyone had a parody of this year, and they should have. A Miracle on 34th Street.
We're
going to talk about that.
All right. When we come back, we're going to talk about Mel Gibson's latest movie. I'm not kidding. You're not going to want to miss this because it ties into everything we're talking about in this election. We're going to talk about Bette Davis. We're talking about Kim and Kanye. And perhaps we'll talk about the election if you're good. And if you're bad, we'll talk about the election even more. Don't go away. Folks, it's the Eric from Taxes Show. This is what we like to call Hour One. Chris Himes, Albin Sadar. I'm trying to help our audience figure out how do you process living in the midst of this madness. I mean, it's kind of like being on a ship in the midst of a storm. And at some point, you know, you just want to take a nap. You just want to go below decks and play checkers because it doesn't stop. It doesn't stop. You need to rest for your mental health. And I was saying that I'm in the middle of finishing a book called Is Atheism Dead? That has been a strange respite. You know, I mean, I'm glad for the respite. It's not really a respite. It's what I do. But it's a crazy thing that we're all living 24/7 in the present. I just don't think that's healthy. So last night, as I was saying, we would go from the news channel over to something else. Turner Classic Movies had on Dark Victory. Some of you know it's the classic Bette Davis movie with, it's the most strange thing. There are small roles in it for a very young Humphrey Bogart and an extremely young Ronald Reagan. But it's one of these movies that completely takes you out of yourself into another universe. And it's a great movie. And I really feel that sometimes watching old movies or just watching anything from another time, Albin, you said you're watching the Grit channel, which is Westerns. I think that that can be really healthy, not just as an escape, but as an escape to a time that is fundamentally anti-present. In other words, I don't just mean that it's another time from our own present, but that there's something about it where people were, they weren't living in their present to the extent that we're living in our present. There was something slower and different. The values that you find in these old films were different. I just think that that's important.
Yeah. I mentioned Miracle on 34th Street, and I don't know, somebody should have done a parody of this. We did parody Christmas songs, which helped us to laugh our way through what was happening in America before Christmas. But at the end of it's Miracle on 34th Street, you know, when they keep bringing in those bags and bags of letters to Santa, I kept thinking that's Joe Biden sitting there, and they keep bringing in bags and bags of ballots. More and more ballots, Joe. And he's like smiling like they believe in me. They believe in me. More ballots. We found even more ballots, Joe. Look at this. Look.
Yeah.
Joe's like, this is great. And the judge says, you know, that's it. America's finished. Boom. And he hits his hammer.
Well, that's OK. Yeah. That's the dystopian view. I could flip it and it could be bags and bags of evidence of fake ballots. But that's just me trying to be positive. Chris?
Well, I read in the paper today that Gimbals was bought by China just recently. So
you're kidding.
No, Gimbals.
That was very funny. Gimbals is dead. There is no Gimbals, but that's very funny. Yeah. Gimbals? I can't believe you just said Gimbals. Okay. I also want to say something about, because again, the election stuff, we're going to be talking about the election for quite a while, very, very intensely. I want to get to this audio tape. We're posting it on our YouTube channel. And folks, let me tell you, you want to talk bombshell? Now, again, there are plenty of people out there who were very, very quick to say, it's a conspiracy theory. You guys are nuts. I'm way past that. Like, I'm miles beyond caring whether people want to accuse me of buying into conspiracy theories, because you can't have a greater conspiracy than the end of America. And that is what we're facing in reality. I mean, that's just however it happens. It is so big. It is utterly existential. It affects the whole world. So let's not pretend that we can live in some kind of normal world and process things normally. So a number of people this morning sent me a link to what had dropped out of the sky. I think it was last night. It's a tape of a woman talking about some Italian people. I think it's the American ambassador to Italy in the last days of the Obama administration, kind of working out a deal. Chris, did you get a sense of who that woman was on the tape? Because I've only just listened to a little bit of it.
No, I'm not sure who she is, but well, I'll find out.
Well, here, let me say this. We're going to put it on our YouTube channel. I invite you folks to listen to it, to see what you make of it, because I'll tell you this much. It sounded dramatically credible, dramatically credible. The woman who was speaking sounds obviously intelligent, educated, very, very level-headed. That alone is fascinating, because we have some really extraordinary people out there fighting who don't sound nearly as level-headed because they're in the middle of all this stuff, and it's hard to be level-headed when you're uncovering such horrors. But this woman sounds credible. So we're going to post it on our YouTube channel. Folks, I'm going to say it again. Please go to our YouTube channel. Subscribe, please, to our YouTube channel. It's one way we're trying to get out information. And it's finally happened that they're coming after us. They're coming after me personally. I'm getting emails that are, you know, incredibly nasty. Yeah. Although perfectly accurate in describing me as worshiping an idol.
I might have to read one.
When we come back, actually, because I want to just mention this, but when we come back, Albin, you got to read the email that was sent to me today, because I think it takes the cake. I don't think anybody could do better. I just want to say that last night I watched a movie. Mel Gibson came out with a movie, and because of COVID, you know, a lot of people haven't heard of it. It's called The Professor and the Madman, and it's about the creation of the Oxford English Dictionary. Now, most people don't know about this, but I, being an English major at Yale, this is something that I was so excited about, getting a copy of the Oxford English Dictionary when I was able to afford one. And the story it's one of the best movies I've seen in a very long time. Some of it is tough to watch, so it's not for kids. But Sean Penn has to be one of the greatest actors of our time, without any doubt. Absolutely, you know, politically on the other end of the spectrum from me, for sure. But really, really, he does a job in playing this madman unlike anything I've seen. Mel Gibson is spectacular. But the movie, you know, it kind of deals with the fine line between madness and genius. And it's profoundly Christian in some ways. I'll mention a little bit more about that when we come back. Folks, we're going to ask you again, don't forget, we're not done with CSI. We need you to go to MetaxasTalk.com and give as much as you can. Thank you. Sleep pretty, darling, do not cry. Folks, welcome back. We are talking about a lot of things. We're talking about how to deal with this election, because I think if you focus on it too much, you'll just die. It's just, you have to step away. And I was talking about watching a film last night called The Professor and the Madman, which—
Yeah, the plot sounded like a James Bond movie.
Well, no, let me tell you, it is a great movie. In many ways, it is profoundly Christian. Now, it's very hard to watch. It's not for kids. I don't know if it's R-rated, but there's a few scenes that are horrifying. But at the same time, one of the screenwriters is a friend of mine, Todd Komornicki, who's a profound Christian. And I don't know, I know that the film was in litigation, but it finally came out and I watched it on Netflix. And I have to say, it's, again, there are a few scenes that are hard to watch, but it is very, very moving. And we can talk about it another time, but I wanted to put that out there because I think it's important for people's mental health that we tune out from what's happening in this vicious, intensely present in which we're living. And yes, that is the sentence. And I think that on this program, we try to, we try to do that balancing act where we're focused on what's happening this second, because we have to and we should, but at the same time of saying, well, hold on a second, life goes on. I've got chickens to raise. I have children who are giving me eggs. And I always get that confused. Chris Himes, you can sort that out. But Albin, maybe you should read the letter that I got today that was sent to me personally. This is true. You go ahead.
Yeah, I'll read this. I won't say who.
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
Okay, here it goes. I pray by the blood of Jesus that you will turn from your evil ways and cease spreading falsehoods.
This is addressed to me. Yes. So I just want to be clear. Someone wrote to me today, and this is what they wrote to Eric Metaxas. Go ahead. Sorry.
Okay. So, and cease spreading falsehoods as you seek to undermine our Constitution. You have idolized Satan in your flesh. The blood of the—
No, people. No.
What?
You have idolized
Satan in the flesh.
In the flesh, not in your flesh.
In the flesh, yep.
So he means President Trump.
You have idolized Satan in the flesh. I guess that's who he means. I hope he doesn't mean— well, I guess that's who he means.
That's why I corrected you, because that's kind of— it's kind
could,
of
a, could be a number of people out there these days, but continue.
Yeah. Yeah. The blood of the people will be on you for your sinful ways. God save your soul, evil man.
Isn't it great to have Christian people writing in to me who care about me?
Was that sent by your wife? Was that signed?
Definitely sounds like Suzanne. Let me tell you.
I thought it was one of my pseudonyms. It sounds like something I would say.
But seriously, I'm getting unprecedentedly attacked. I'm also getting unprecedentedly encouraged because people are writing to encourage me about what they're hearing on this program. Oh, yeah. So I want to say to those of you who are encouraging me, thank you very much. To those of you who are being vicious, not so much. Albin and Chris, I don't want to forget, I've got to remind our audience before we go to hour two, which is either, I think we're going to have Larry Taunt tonight today instead of
he wrote a great article in American Spectator.
Genius. But I want to say two things. First of all, we are still raising money to free slaves in the Sudan. So you can, it doesn't matter what day it is, doesn't matter what's happening in DC today, we are raising money to free slaves. We want you to go to metaxastalk.com to give what you can. Albin, read the number, please.
Okay, the phone number is 888-253-3522. 888-253-3522. And we have grand prizes, three grand prizes at the end of this month. We're going to announce it, three more grand prizes.
I don't think we're going to have three more grand prizes, but maybe two. All right. Finally, we need you to purchase everything from mystore.com or mypillow.com. Use the code Eric. In hour two, more on the election and more on everything besides the election. Don't go away.